What we're going to look at this evening is from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, this has been a favorite passage of Scripture for many years. I've preached from it on many different occasions, whether just as a topic or going verse by verse through the book of Luke. I'm going to read verses 13 through 35 to you, and then come back and talk about them individually. And I think that this passage of Scripture relates very well to you and I, to New Testament believers, especially American New Testament believers in this 21st century. I think you're probably familiar with the context. This is following the death of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, though these men did not know it at this particular time. And they're walking and talking, and I won't go through all the geography of where this is as they're walking and so forth, but it's a fascinating picture of these two men. But I just want to remind you of some things that I think are very important for you and I as we walk through this life. So Luke chapter 24, verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened," and all these things would be the death of the Lord Jesus. They are not certain of the resurrection, though they have heard of it, and they'll talk to Jesus of that, all the things which had happened. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him," by the way, Jesus knew all of these things. Jesus knew what it was, but he's drawing out conversation. "And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." And I want to stop there for just a moment. The word "trusted" there is our New Testament word for "hoped." There was the idea that they were hoping, expecting, anticipating that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And by the way, he was the redeemer of Israel. But the wording of this is indicating that they are saying, in a political mindset, we were hoping that he was the one who is going to free us from Roman bondage. Okay, that's the context that is here. Verse 21, "And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and made as though he would have gone on further. He made as though he would have gone on further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. By the way, that ought to be our heart whenever we hear the word of God opened and taught. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." So look at these two men. I think that often they represent you and I, say me, in a lot of different ways. And I'm going to give a little bit of a background thought to draw the connection so that we can look at this passage of Scripture as I think it should relate to New Testament believers. We find these two men on the road to Emmaus probably asking the question of themselves, what now? Okay, not only did they have a political thought that the Lord was going to deliver Israel from the Romans. By the way, it was not just these two men. You remember the question of the disciples after the Lord had raised and just before he was ascended in Acts chapter 1? They asked the question, are you now going to restore the kingdom? Even the disciples, even after the resurrection, even after they had been in the upper room with him, even after Thomas had put his finger in his side, they still were thinking that now is the time for the kingdom. And so these men are thinking in a normal way. Every Jew was eagerly anticipating being out from under the control of the Romans. Draw some similarities to our culture, to the Roman culture. The Romans were immoral. They had little regard for life. We can say homosexuality and abortion. They taxed heavily and corruptly. Remember the birth of the Lord Jesus? Remember Matthew, the tax collector? Remember Zacchaeus? Their thinking, speaking of the Romans, was philosophical, not biblical. They desired world peace, and by the way, not in the way it will be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. They were materialists, meaning that they were hedonists. All that mattered to them was pleasure. What satisfies me? These things were nearly all at opposition with the Jewish religion and obviously the followers of the Lord Jesus as well. I mentioned to you a moment ago that the Greek wording in verse 21 makes it clear that these men were anticipating and hoping for a political deliverance, not necessarily redemption from sin. This is not necessarily different from how many Christians now look at the political realm, especially in every election cycle. So what happens when we are left or put under the control of those who allow immorality, of those who have little regard for life, of those who are only materialistic, hedonistic, and have confused good and evil? Does it throw us off course? Does it change our life? Does it upend our thinking, our joy? The desire of these two disciples was not wrong, just like it is not wrong for us to love our country and to want to see it delivered from many of these same vices. As I mentioned, every Jew then and most now are very nationalistic. In fact, this is one of the reasons that so many people are anti-Semitic, because no matter where a Jew lives, his primary loyalty is always to the nation of Israel. And so many people hate them for that. The Jews believe that they will be delivered from oppression and restored to absolute sovereignty under the king who is of David. These two men on the road to Emmaus were simply wrong on their time chart and therefore had the wrong priorities. And again, we're not much different than these disciples. We want to be delivered from heavy taxation. I don't like paying taxes any more than anyone else does. We would love to be delivered from the philosophies and principles that we find repulsive. We want our nation free from those things which we believe are indefensible from the scriptures, specifically homosexuality and abortion. We want to be delivered from the inundating yet opposing message that every man can do what is right in his own eyes, but every other man has to tolerate what every other man wants to do. Our frustration and disappointments can rise almost to that of these two men on the road to Emmaus. However, such thinking is not correct eschatology, and it is not correct theology. We want now what we won't have until the millennial kingdom. Our minds, therefore, need to be calibrated to a corrected biblical position. Jesus went through a process with these two disciples that I believe is necessary and possible for every Christian, especially in the day in which we were living. It happened simply while walking with Jesus. It's simple, really. When we are walking with Jesus, our minds are calibrated, our hearts are calibrated to a biblical position. And that's what is necessary now. Incidentally, it's not just after an election cycle that our hearts and our minds need to be recalibrated. It may happen after financial reverses. It may happen after sickness. It may be from grief over family issues or work issues. Really anything in which we have unfulfilled expectations or wrong expectations. And walking with Jesus is what will calibrate our minds. I want you to understand this evening, and this is the primary thought, in any situation, your mind and heart are correctly calibrated by walking with Jesus. These men were able to do it in a physical sense. Obviously, the Lord Jesus bodily is not going to be walking with us. But this passage of Scripture, I think, gives some very important things that are very helpful for you and for me. Imagine that you're one of these disciples on the road to Emmaus. As we go through this passage of Scripture this evening, there's five things that Jesus accomplished with these men, which he can also and is willing to accomplish in your life. Begin reading again in verse 13, and I'll pick up and then look at several thoughts from these things. Verse 13, Behold, two of them that went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about threescore furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, and by the way, that reasoning is the idea that they were communing with each other and talking about and trying to figure out the things that had happened, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And again, I think in this particular picture, what is taking place is that the Lord is putting them through a test or helping them to understand where they are so that he can bring them to the point where they need to be. And the first thing that I want you to see this evening is that walking with Jesus reveals your discouragement. Walking with Jesus reveals your discouragement. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? A couple of different thoughts that I want to point out with this, that when you begin a relationship with someone or when you continue in a relationship with someone, first of all, they know you. They understand you. It does not take very long at all in the relationship that I have with my wife for her to know that there's something wrong. I don't know if it's just a look in my eye. I don't know if it's a twitch in my cheek or what it is. Maybe it's the tone in my voice, but she understands me. She knows when there is something that is not right in my thinking or in my heart, in my demeanor, in my emotions. And realize that in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, the more that you are with him, the more he is going to bring to the surface the deepest part of who you are. And many times it's going to need to be corrected. And Jesus is very capable of drawing out those issues in you that need to be changed. And as he was communicating with these two disciples, these men who loved him, as he communed with them, it was not very long before he was able to draw to the surface the things in them that needed to change. Specifically, Luke records that Jesus had said, what manner of communications or what kind of conversation are you having, these things that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? What has just happened? They know of the crucifixion, but they have also heard from these ladies that the body of Jesus is not there, okay? This should be a time, and it will be soon, when they are rejoicing. But because their anticipation, because their expectations were not met, then they are sad. I'm just briefly pointing out, this is not where we're going to focus a lot of time, but understand when you are walking with Jesus, those areas of your life that need to change will be brought to the surface. It's interesting to me, but just turn there quickly, Philippians chapter 3, I think I pointed this out several months ago when I was preaching from Philippians chapter 3, but the Apostle Paul, in speaking of his pursuit of the Lord Jesus, verse 15 of chapter 3, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and he's speaking of, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, that's pursuing Christ, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And the idea is that the one who is pursuing Christ, when there may creep into your life something that is not as it should be, that if you have the right kind of relationship with the Lord, that is going to be brought to the surface. That's what should be happening every time we participate in the Lord's table. That we are examining ourselves, that what is not right in us or in our relationship with the Lord is brought to the surface. As we come back to this passage of Scripture, just thinking, walking with Jesus reveals your discouragement, or it reveals your dismay, or those areas in your life which are not as they should be. And by the way, in a relationship, that needs to be brought out. Husbands, wives, what happens when you're in a relationship and one of you has something that is a discouragement and say, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. Can we talk? No, I don't want to talk about it. Until that is brought up, it's not going to be settled. And Jesus, in walking with these disciples, he revealed that there's an issue that needs to be dealt with. There's something that needs to be taken care of. And so, number one, walking with Jesus reveals your discouragement. And I'm not going to go through all of these verses as far as in detail. I'm just pointing out some things in this passage of Scripture that I think are helpful, have been helpful to me. Number two, not only walking with Jesus reveals your discouragement, walking with Jesus rebukes your disbelief. It rebukes your disbelief. Notice verse 25. After they've explained to him everything that has happened in Jerusalem, the death of the Lord Jesus, the one that they had hoped would deliver Israel and so forth, then he says in verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know what he's saying to them? You should have been expecting this. This is what the Old Testament has been prophesying, beginning at Moses. We think of the sacrificial system, which pointed towards the Lord Jesus, the lamb, which would have its blood shed on behalf of the nation or for the people of the nation. Isaiah chapter 53 very clearly speaks of the suffering servant. This is not a surprise what happened to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus specifically said to them, "O fools and slow of heart." By the way, the idea of fool there, I spoke to you several weeks ago of the different degrees of the fool from Proverbs. This is not that kind of a fool. Jesus is not referring to them as the one who is rebellious, the one who is like Nabal, or the one who had a propensity towards being misled. Here it's the idea of you who are simple in heart. You have not recognized what the scriptures were teaching. And then slow of heart, the idea there is that you just have not grasped this yet, to believe all that the scriptures have spoken. And walking with Jesus will reveal or even rebuke our disbelief. Now understand that there are different kinds of disbelief. Jesus said that you're slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He is not accusing them of atheism. He is not accusing them of agnosticism. He is simply saying that your hearts have not grasped this yet, or you have not recognized what the scriptures have been teaching. And incidentally, I'm going to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to understand and realize that often we are the same way. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And understand that the world in which we are living is exactly what the scriptures have prophesied. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." All the way down through verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaks of what the world is going to be like. May I say to you, if we expect the United States to be a Christian nation like we want to see in the millennial kingdom, we are no different than these two disciples who were walking with the Lord Jesus. The scripture has prophesied that things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And what we are seeing is the fulfillment of scripture. The Lord Jesus said, "You've been slow to believe what the prophets have spoken concerning me." And now we are often slow to believe what the scriptures have revealed regarding the end times or what is to be expected and what is to be anticipated. Walking with Jesus, and I'll explain what that is in just a few moments, walking with Jesus will rebuke where we are not correctly believing the scriptures. It reveals our disbelief. It rebukes our disbelief. Number three, walking with Jesus redirects your discussion. By the way, the first two were negative. We start to go up from here. Walking with Jesus redirects your discussion. Verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" He's asking these two men who are sad because of what they're hearing, who are sad because of what they've seen in the death of the Lord Jesus, because their anticipation has not been fulfilled. And so he speaks to them and he begins to reveal to them the truth of the matter, if you will. But he says in verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" That's what the Old Testament had prophesied. Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And in this, the Lord Jesus then takes the scriptures and he begins to speak to these two disciples who are disappointed, who are discouraged, because what they anticipated for the deliverance from the Roman Empire, perhaps even from the religion of the Pharisees, they anticipated things changing, and yet now this one that they were following, the one that they had set their hopes on, has been crucified. They're disappointed, and now Jesus begins to turn with them and basically say, "Look, you have misunderstood the Old Testament. Christ was supposed to suffer and to enter into his glory." And so he begins now with the scriptures and reveals to them, he explains to them, or literally exposits to them, what the scriptures have said regarding him. And so, verse 27 then, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is where their thinking begins to change. And by the way, their emotion, their excitement, their understanding is recognized in the next several verses. And we'll see that as we look at it in just a moment. But I want you to see this and understand this, that walking with Jesus then redirects your discussions. These two men are talking. They're sad. Jesus is dead, or so they think. Israel is not delivered at this moment. Things are not what they thought they should be. But now as they're walking with Jesus, their discussion begins to change. Now, let's move this out of a political realm. Let's move it out of all kinds of just different specific realms. And just understand, the more that we're walking with Jesus, the more upward our discussions are going to be. Our conversations are going to move to an entirely different level whenever we let the Lord Jesus be the one who is guiding the conversation. And so here, walking with Jesus redirects your discussion. It's interesting, if you've still got your finger in 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what happens here. The Apostle Paul makes a direct change in what he is speaking of. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I just read through the first several verses. Verse 13, he concludes that section, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you notice what he tells Timothy? After explaining to him what the world is going to be like, okay, what they should expect in the last days, what Timothy should expect in the last days. All of the bad things, verses 1 through 13, but then in verse 14, but, what's he say? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Notice that he doesn't stop there. Verse 1 of chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But again, here's the word, but. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The Apostle Paul's tone changed there. He referred Timothy to all the things that they could expect or that he should expect in the last days. But he told him, but continue thou, but watch thou. The entire focus of Timothy's mind was not just to be on all of the evil things that would be taking place, but his adherence to Scripture and his adherence to ministry was the focus that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. And so, number three, walking with Jesus redirects your discussion. These men were concerned with their failed expectations. And the Lord Jesus says, look, this is exactly what was supposed to happen. And so he redirects their discussion. Number four, verse 28 and following, walking with Jesus raises your desire. I love what takes place here. Verse 28, they drew nigh into the village with whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. What has happened is as Jesus is walking with these two men, as he has helped recalibrate their thinking to understand that, look, you have not been looking at the Old Testament scriptures correctly. You anticipated a Messiah who would deliver you politically without any kind of suffering. That's not what has happened. And so beginning at Moses, he's taken the scriptures. He's helped them to understand the way things should be. And their emotions have changed, possibly without even recognizing it. And now as Jesus has come to the inn with them, he's making as though he would go on, I think again, testing to see what their desire is. As he's getting ready to walk on, they constrain him. And they say, wait. We want to hear more. Stay with us. Commune with us. Explain more to us. Very likely these men are thinking, we've never heard anyone explain the scriptures in the way that Jesus is, or that this man is doing it now. And so their desire has raised to an entirely different level. They're thinking now he's going to go on without us and we want him with us. Just saying this, walking with Jesus on a regular basis raises your desire to be with him more. Amen. Brother Duke insinuated that this morning, is saying, look, just ask the Lord, increase my desire for your word. Be in the word. Be in prayer and asking the Lord to increase it. These men had come to the point that they just wanted to be with Jesus. They constrained him. You stay with us. Come in with us. We want to hear you more. And so number four, walking with Jesus raises your desire. The more that you walk with him, the more you are going to want to walk with him. Just using a human illustration, Carol and I have been married for 21 and a half years. And over the years, my appreciation for her fellowship has grown. And the more I spend time with her, the more I want to spend time with just her. Nothing against any of you. Okay. I just want to be with her. And the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you're going to want to spend time with the Lord. Walking with Jesus raises your desire, number four. And then finally, number five, walking with Jesus revives your devotion. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? And this is, by the way, after he had broken bread with them, verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sights. And then they said, did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? This word burn is indicating an emotional excitement. By the way, emotions are not wrong in the right context and when they're following the will. Did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they're now at a place where they would not have been just a few hours before, when their countenance was sad, when Jesus said, what manner of communications are these that you're speaking of these things and you are sad? Now they recognize, you know, things are entirely different with us. As we have heard him speaking, as we have heard him teaching the scriptures, as he has explained all that has happened regarding the Messiah, regarding the Lord Jesus, the fact that he was supposed to suffer and enter into his glory, our hearts have burned within us, and now they're excited. You see the change that has taken place in just a few hours with the Lord Jesus. Sad to burning hearts. Just in walking with the Lord. Again, removed from this specific context, this will happen in your life. You can move from the point of sorrow and sadness, discouragement, disappointment, and dismay simply by walking with Jesus. Your heart will burn within you, wanting to know more. And that's the point that these disciples had come to. Walking with Jesus revives your devotion. Notice the response to it, verse 33. They rose up the same hour. You notice it was near the end of the day? They had been planning on spending the night in this inn, but they decided not to. Okay. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in making bread or in the breaking of bread. You see, what's happened is that their devotion has been revived. They don't even stay the night in the inn. They don't even stop where they had intended to. They immediately go back and begin speaking to the other apostles of what they've seen. Their focus has come back to where it should have been. And so when you consider what is taking place with these disciples, these two men who I really enjoy reading of, just want to say this, and this is practical. This is what is taking place in the lives of these men. Walking with Jesus reveals your discouragement. It happened for them. Walking with Jesus rebukes your disbelief. They were not looking at the scriptures correctly. Walking with Jesus redirects your discussion. Walking with Jesus raises your desire. They wanted to spend more time with him. And ultimately, it revives your devotion. Now, here's a simple question. What does it mean to walk with Jesus? How do you walk with Christ? This is simple. The same way you walk with any other person. You listen. When my wife and I are traveling, is one of the best ways for us to commune. We drove to Illinois together this week. I thoroughly enjoyed our trip out there. We talked. I just told her, I'm not thinking of anything else. The multitasking in the brain was not an issue. You're not supposed to have your cell phone in your hand while you're driving. And I listened. We talked. We just spent time. And there's a couple of things that are a part of communication, which would be walking together. Obviously, we were driving, but just listen. Let me ask you something. How do you listen to the Lord Jesus now? How does he speak to you now? Through the Word. We don't believe in further revelation. The Lord Jesus or the Scriptures have been completed for us. We have the Word of God to us now. You want to hear the Lord Jesus speaking, you need to be in the Word. I want to always in my life be in the Gospels. The Gospels are where we learn specifically of the Lord Jesus. I had several thoughts of different passages of Scripture this afternoon. The Apostle Paul said, we looked at a moment ago, Philippians chapter 3, that he was pursuing Christ, the knowledge of him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we behold his glory by looking at him. John chapter 13 through 17, my favorite section, I think, of Scripture, where the Lord Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples just before his death. The Lord Jesus begins by washing their feet, but then he goes through and he teaches them invaluable lessons in those passages of Scripture. John 17, where he prays, not only for the disciples, but in John chapter 17 and verse 20, he says, I pray not for these alone, but for those that shall believe on me. That's me and you. Through their word. Jesus prayed for me and you in that high priestly prayer. Amen. In John 13 through 17, listen to the Lord Jesus. These things have I written unto you. These things have I spoken unto you. He said in several different places in chapters 15 through 17. Chapter 15, abide in Christ, Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And so how do you walk with him? Listen. And that's through the Word. He speaks through the Word. Let me just say this. If you are not spending regular time in the Word, you are not walking with Jesus. Right. You can't. Amen. You listen in a communication. Another way that you are walking with someone is you are speaking to them. Yeah. And that would be our reverse, and that is praying. My wife and I speak to each other. She speaks and I listen, and then I speak and she listens. Praying is an essential part of the Christian life. Praying is an essential part of walking with Jesus. Jesus often spoke of asking things in his name and asking things of him. I've said to you before, I think on an occasion or two, that prayer is a verbal expression of faith. Whenever I ask the Lord something, I'm saying, I know it's in your control. I know that you will do what is right. I know that you will do what will bring you glory and will be for my good. And I pray for those things. And when I commit those things into his hands, that's a verbal expression of faith. I trust this into your keeping. And walking with Jesus is listening to him. It's speaking to him. It's spending time with him. I mentioned John 15 several times in that passage of Scripture, the first paragraph, abide in him. He is the vine, we're the branches. Abide in him. It's the idea of remaining and dwelling. It's a word picture of marriage. And so abide with Christ. It's the same as with a person. By the way, I think often we don't recognize that the Lord Jesus is a person. And so you listen, you speak. You spend time, you pursue, you want to know more. These men had their heart changed simply by walking with Jesus. And it's very easy for us, not just in the United States of America and the things that we look at in the social and political realm, but just through the difficulties of life, through the busyness of life, it is easy to have unfulfilled expectations. And the way that our hearts and minds are recalibrated, the way that we move from sadness, discouragement, and dismay to a burning heart is by walking with Jesus. That's what happened with these disciples, and it's what the Lord Jesus will do in us if we'll commit ourselves to walking with him.